thank you for tuning in. What I want to do in this live stream is talk about a big news story here that has kind of come through and created quite a few waves. Today, the mainstream media is latching onto it. Fox News, I know, picked it up. The Hill picked it up. And likely through the weekend, quite a few other outlets as well will pick it up. If you don't know what I'm talking about, here's kind of the quick synopsis of what went down. And this was about a leaked UFO photo that has been rumored and bantered about now for probably quite a few weeks. The idea was essentially that a UFO photo of some kind was going to leak out. Now, if you're not familiar with UFO Twitter, I'm kind of just labeling it as this is the root of the rumor. I know that Facebook and Reddit and other places as well were talking about this, but essentially it really cultivated on UFO Twitter. So some very quick background before we get into the photo is where this controversy was a rumor went around that a UFO photo was likely going to be published by Lieutenant Tim McMillan, who's been on this program before. I've interviewed him a few times, a great investigative journalist and so on. And so that was kind of going around that he was going to do this. Well, I think all sides played a little bit into the hype. So I'm not going to say it was just one side. I think everybody involved in this story was kind of hyping it up. The idea was that on December 2nd, The Debrief, which was their new website, Lieutenant Tim McMillan, MJ Banias, and Micah Hanks were going to come together, create this news site. And again, the rumor mill started that they were going to publish this UFO photo likely on December 2nd. Well, the night before that happened, Tim posted he didn't know where that rumor had come from and pretty much burst the bubble of the hopes of not only UFO Twitter, again, just kind of used as a little friendly stereotype, but really everyone that was saying, hey, we're going to get something big here. We're going to see a UFO photo. There's going to be a UAP task force press release going out. There was all sorts of rumors. But this tweet here by Lieutenant Tim that you see on your screen pretty much burst that bubble, saying he didn't know where it was going to come from, that he didn't start it. And essentially, that's not what they were going to do. Their article dropped on December 2nd, just as promised. So their tease came through. No photo. They had an email that was released through the Freedom of Information Act, but there was no photo. So, of course, everybody was kind of let down and chastised the hype and so on. Now, I might do a different video on this specific article, but here's the nutshell version. What Tim had revealed was that there were two classified UAP task force reports that were generated in what it sounds like in the last couple of years. Now, we know that the UAP task force wasn't officially sanctioned or announced by the DOD until this year. So it was a little weird, not the reporting, but meaning the story, that the UAP task force, which wasn't really official until this year, had published reports in the past. So that's why I'm thinking about doing a video specifically on this article and those pieces of the puzzle. But the gist of it was two classified reports. They had classified photos in them or photos in the classified reports. Rumors were that maybe they were unclassified, even though they existed in a classified report. So maybe they could be obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. Well, as the rumor mill, you know, was a little let down and the bubble was popped and, oh my gosh, we don't have what we wanted. Tim did a for effort on the marketing here. Tim did something pretty cool. And the team at the Debrief the next day surprised everybody and published one of the photos. What you see on the screen here is the article that dropped on December 3rd. And that's going to be the focus with this. Now, here's the deal. When you look at the UFO photo at first glance, you go, wow, because they're saying this is a leaked photo. So nothing official. So we could just put that right out there. And you go, well, it looks kind of intriguing. Here is the full photo, full screen. Give you a second to kind of take it all in. This is what the hype was about. Whether or not you've seen the controversy yet, I'll get into it. But this is what appeared on your screen when you loaded that article. I'll zoom in on the UFO a little bit here. There is the UFO. And I'm going to be honest with you, being around the block a little bit on UFOs, I know some people label me as a skeptic or a debunker. I'm really not, but I'm not afraid to be skeptical or debunk where it is necessary or called for. And being around the block for now 24, going on 25 years, God, I'm dating myself. Being around that long, there is a certain trend when you see UFO photos, UFO videos, and a lot of things, and it's a short list, but a lot of things get lumped into UFO sightings. For example, the Starlink satellites. Those are often reported as strings of UFOs. The list goes on. Another one not as well known, though, is something called a Tetroon. And this is something that has been around. I'm showing you some photos on the screen now. This over here, that is a close-up view of a what's called a Tetroon. Now, this is where my mind went originally seeing that photo, because I've been involved in investigating cases before that actually did have this as a culprit or a very likely culprit. This here was the classified or whatever leaked UFO photo. This here is an actual Tetroon that caused quite a bit of stir, I believe, in about 2015. One of those viral UFO stories from a local news channel, it garners, you know, worldwide attention. And then days or weeks later, they figured out that it was actually a Tetroon that this was. Now, I'm not saying that this is an exact match here. I'm just showing that this was an example of a 2015 case that went viral, UFO photo, that turns out to be what this is, which is essentially a solar balloon. So they can go high up in the altitude, in altitude, and essentially start looking like flying triangles and stuff like that to people on the ground or even to pilots and so on. So that's an example of a UFO, quote unquote, UFO photo that ultimately was a solar balloon. I had posted this out too, and it all happened and unfolded really, really quick, but I just wanted to kind of give you guys an idea. This is what happens. This is an array of photographs when a Tetroon is in flight, and here it is being launched. And obviously, as it gets farther and farther away, it resembles these kind of odd shapes in the sky. Now, I'm not, again, not trying to say that that's what this was, but these were initial thoughts that I had thrown out there, just saying, okay, like, this is really weird. If the story is true, and Tim is reporting that this is a UAP photo from the government, like, this is a little bit too close. And then comes Batman. And I'll be honest with you, I laughed when somebody sent this to me as this all was kind of unfolding. And I, at first glance, again, laughed. And then I realized, oh my gosh, there actually are similarities. You start looking at the texture on the side, the dip on the front. Now, I think the thing that might be obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway, is this, you know, we don't know if this is a Batman balloon, but the idea is the shape and this style of balloon could absolutely be attributed to this object. Then somebody sent me this. Now I'm going to see if I could play it here. I don't know if it'll automatically play. Let me see. Oh, please. Who knows here? Oh, that's a shame. I'm not sure if I can get it to play. Okay, bear with me here. See that live thing again? All right. Well, it's not playing, but I'll go ahead and post this after the show. It's on my Twitter wall as well, but it blends the UFO behind it with the balloon and goes back and forth in loops. And I'm telling you, it looks like an exact match, but you can clearly see here it's got the exact same shape. I'll go back to this so you can see it. Again, you just kind of draw the parallels from that spike to that spike, that one to that one, this thing at the bottom here, the curve at the top. So again, this was like spot on. Now, I'm not here to debunk the photo, don't get me wrong, but I wanted to give some context about how the whole story unfolded and where we ended up. And this actually plays into a theory on potentially what is going on here. Oh, of course, now it plays. There you go. good old live. But there you go. You see that Batman balloon morphing in. Let's see if I can get it to play again. Probably not. Well, you saw it once. If not, you might have to rewind it there. Now, I want to dispel the myth that's going around, because some people really want to believe that this is a UFO or UAP. Now, I'm not 100% solid that the balloon explanation is there, but it's pretty likely at this point, at least for this particular photograph. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, there's no way the report says it was 30 to 35,000 feet. There's no way that a balloon can go that high. But most people were pulling more like a latex balloon, a party balloon in that respect. Helium filled Mylar balloons actually can go, you can see here, up to about 30,000 feet. Now, again, the argument was, well, the report said 30 to 35,000, so it can't get that high. Well, you can see here the report from the debrief said roughly. So what is roughly? 28,000, 27,000, approximately. We don't know exactly. And so in essence, a balloon absolutely fits in this rough estimate of how high this was. So let me get into the meat of what I want to talk to you guys about. And that is the fact that context is key. Everybody wants this to be a UAP, me included, a truly unidentified object. I know for a fact and will not deny the military sees them to this day. They have for decades. It is considered a highly classified topic. I've got reams of evidence to prove that, official evidence to prove that. So there's no denying it. But the context of this actual photo is key, I think, to actually understanding it. Now, what do we know about it? Well, let's get away from the debunk. Let's just say it is truly an unidentified object, because we really don't know if it's a balloon or not. We lean towards that, but we're not sure. Here's kind of the rough overview of what we know. This is from the debrief. This is from the article. And this was published again on December 3rd, which was yesterday on the recording of this. It states the debrief learned the existence of the photograph from a defense official who's been verified as being in a position to have access to the UAP Task Force intelligence reports. So in other words, what we're seeing here is the debrief is sourcing their material to all anonymous sources. Those of you who know me, I do not dismiss anonymous sources. I just don't like them. The reason is I've got 100 different follow-up questions that we could expand on, and yet there's no way to verify any of it because all of the sources are anonymous. Now, I know that there are a very small list of other journalists that allegedly have verified this. But again, you're at the same boat. I mean, I'm not privy to the secret club stuff, and that drives me nuts simply because... not that I'm not part of that club, but rather you have to be in the club to be able to understand who's giving us this wisdom. Now, let's operate off the assumption that it's all true, that these anonymous sources check out, that they're giving us a UFO photograph. Okay, that's fine. Let's go ahead and move forward. You'll see here in the debrief that everybody, like I said, has strict conditions of anonymity. No one wants to be named, nor is anybody named when it comes to sourcing this material or talking about it. The one person that is named that talked about it is our good friend Susan Goff. She's the Pentagon spokesperson. I've talked to her many, many times. Despite the online image of her, she's really not a bad person. She's very friendly, although of course she doesn't give us what we want. And of course she doesn't give it to us in a timely manner. That aside, very nice, pleasant person. She responded to the debrief. This was her comment. To maintain operations, security, and to avoid disclosing information that may be useful to potential adversaries, DOD does not discuss publicly the details of reports, observations, or examinations of reported incursions into our training ranges or designated airspace, including those incursions initially designated as UAP, Goff's reply read. Now, put a pin in that, because I'm going to go back to it. This is a statement that I received, I believe, I couldn't find the date of the first time that I received it, but she has copy and pasted this statement to numerous people. And I know for a fact that that's what spokespeople do, not only on UFOs, but a lot of stuff. Once things are approved, meaning a statement, That's what they use. So you can have very similar questions from journalist to journalist. They just copy and paste it, send it out. This one is pretty much a blanket. Hey, we don't want to talk to you. So go away. We're not going to tell you anything. And so I've gotten that quite a few times, more times than I want to count. I do believe it was 2019 when she started using this. So you're talking about a strong year and a half ago. But regardless, this seemed really familiar. But it wasn't until the last 24 hours when I realized, okay, there may be more to that statement than I originally realized or that anybody originally realized. So bear with me, put a pin in that. She also gave it to George Knapp, Susan Goff, gave that statement to George Knapp. She added, because I assume Knapp had asked specifically about the photograph. She says, I have nothing for you on that. I am not going to comment on whether something was or was not in a classified intelligence report. And then she goes on and pastes the same exact statement that the debrief got. Now, that's a pretty boilerplate response to any legal lawyer, even though she's not a lawyer. But in essence, they're going to blanket statement on that, no matter if we're dealing with terrorism, UFOs, any type of intelligence thing. If you're a journalist asking about a classified report and what is or is not in it, that is going to be their standard answer. So that doesn't stick out to me. Of course, some may want that denial to be an approval that yes, this is from that classified report, but you can't take it as that. That's a fairly common boilerplate response as well. But regardless, though, she did add that little preface there to George Knapp. Now, why is context key? I want to pull in a couple other government documents here to prove my point before I really drill in even deeper on what this photograph may mean. And where I say context is key, let me pull out a couple unrelated documents and explain a little bit of why context is key. So I could hand you a CIA document that you can download right now from the CIA. This has in fact gone viral, the fact that this document exists, on the bloodlines of the Illuminati. And when you hear that, you go, wow, the CIA is writing stuff about that, or they're interested. What, like, why do they care about the bloodline of the Illuminati? And if you don't have the context on the surface, that sounds awesome. Here is on your screen the exact CIA.gov address to download Bloodlines of the Illuminati. The context is a little bit more interesting, at least to me, is they don't care about Bloodlines of the Illuminati. This was one of thousands of documents within Osama bin Laden's compound. And what the CIA did was, when they raided and killed Osama bin Laden, they went in there, grabbed everything that he had, which included adult films, hard drives, and all sorts of stuff, including Bloodlines of the Illuminati. So the context behind this is there's no intelligence interest in Bloodlines of the Illuminati, because when you look at the context, all it was intelligence about Osama bin Laden. Here's another one. If you don't know your history, I'm sure most of you do, but here's a speech written about the death of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, that they were left on the moon because their mission failed. Now, if you don't know your history, of course, you might look at this and go, wow, that's really sad that those astronauts were left on the moon. But the context is key. The context is this was written in case of such an event. It doesn't really stipulate that in the archives. You just need to know the context. And so that is why these documents and the context within is so important. Let me now pull it back to UFOs a little bit. This is a great story. You've heard me talk about it before. If you listen to this program, the desks of Project Blue Book and the Carmen Murano story, where Rob Mercer had gone and found these UFO documents in a garage on Craigslist, ended up purchasing them. Within those documents, it showed an inside look about what all of the people had on their desks that were working on Project Blue Book. And they had stuff on different types of aircraft, celestial objects, clouds, meteors, satellites, so on and so forth. On the surface, you might think, hey, they were investigating all of those things. No, they weren't. The context is that those were reference material. Again, context is key. So they use these to essentially have, I'm kind of using this term loosely, a Rosetta Stone for uncovering true UFO cases. Or if you can solve them because it's a certain type of cloud, then there you go. Your reference material helped you out. That's why all of the context is key. Now, remember that that quote that I said put a pin in from Susan Goff. And she says, DOD does not discuss publicly the details of reports, observations, or examinations of reported incursions into our training ranges or designated airspace, including those incursions initially designated as UAP, meaning they could have initially been UAPs, but not ultimately determined to be UAPs, essentially a training material. So that context is that photograph, who knows, may have been inserted into that report as an example of a pilot sees something. He thought it was odd and strange, unidentified aerial phenomena, snaps a photograph, and it goes to the task force. They take it from there. That UAP is investigated, determined to be maybe some type of balloon, but you use that as part of, again, your Rosetta Stone for deciphering future UFO cases. Why did I go to a Tatroon, even though I at this point, I again, lean a little bit away from it now that I've seen Batman, but why did I go there? Well, because I've seen quite a few cases where you have a flying triangle or so on, and that is your primer to understanding what it is, to decoding that UFO case. Case closed, keep moving. So we don't know the context of why this UFO photo was in there. And this plays into what I think is a very interesting concept here on whether or not we are dealing with highly classified technology. And you have to ask yourself the question, would the United States government deceive the public? Some of you are laughing. I even have to ask that. Well, I've got reams of material to show, yes, they absolutely do. Most people want disclosure at this point because they think the United States military and the United States government is now finally taking UFOs and UAPs seriously, and they are on the precipice of coming clean, that they have lied for well over a half a century, and now they're going to actually start coming clean with you. Or are they continuing the game? That question, could an identified object be labeled unidentified simply for national security reasons? Sounds silly. Why would the government say, we don't know what this is, it's unidentified, all to really, in essence, make themselves look inept, look stupid, look dumb? Why would they do that? And so a lot of people have dismissed that theory because they think, hey, wait a minute, no, they would never do that. These are true UFOs. Now, let me preface the remaining part of this by saying, I do believe the military and government sees truly unidentified flying objects. However, now that we're starting to see some stuff leak out and come forward, I'm starting to doubt that there's nothing else nefarious going on. Meaning, I believe that there may be a hidden agenda here by something or someone that wants to, in essence, play you. That it'll make you think certain things or not think certain things by design. Now, you don't need to be a crazy conspiracy crackpot theorist that you might say, John's totally slipped his lid at this point and his cheese slid way off of his cracker. All you got to do is look at verifiable history and go back to Roswell. How many explanations did they give the public which are true, verifiable stories of deceit? It's not just one, it's quite a few, that they tried to deceive you to get you away from what was really going on. They painted a picture and told you one thing, while behind the scenes, something totally different was going on. Now, I believe that is my draw to Roswell that kind of got me interested early on. It wasn't the first thing. It's a little too pop culture-y for me, but regardless, it really showed me, hey, look, there's probably something to this topic. What it is, I'm not really sure. But you go back to Roswell and you see that public deceit of the public, all with verifiable information. It happens. It's not a crazy theory. There's been bases in the middle of the desert, like this one, Area 51, that operated for a very long time without it ever officially being acknowledged. Of course, rumors grew, and of course, people stumbled across it. And of course, people started talking about it. But this base was built and in operation like 70 years ago. They were doing things in the Nevada desert at Area 51. And there's official documents to prove it, all of which were classified top secret. The base was denied and the public was deceived. Entire government agencies exist and operate without the public ever knowing. The public is deceived because they never know what their tax dollars are going for, and the government as a whole will lie about it. The National Reconnaissance Office is a prime example. The National Reconnaissance Office was established on September 6th of 1961. Now think about how long ago that really was. The NRO operated for a decade before a rumor ever even spread. I was able to get a document declassified from the NRO that talked about all of the security breaches and concerns about the identity of the NRO being out there in the public. They didn't want it. Why? They wanted to deceive the public. They didn't want you to know what was really going on. So they were spinning different stories all the way to outright lying to the general public. And it wasn't for another couple decades until the National Reconnaissance Office was actually revealed in September of 1992. The public was deceived about all of that. If you don't think the government will lie to you, just open up a history book and look at official documents that have come through. This one may get some of you to kind of get mad at me, and I don't mean it to be. There's nothing political. But it is another example in an unrelated topic to show that the government will say one thing to deceive you because something else is true. Unrelated to UFOs and in the healthcare sector, Dr. Fauci got into a lot of trouble and a lot of criticism for telling the general public, do not go out and buy masks. Masks will not help you. And you can watch the video. I was going to play it, but I don't want people to think I'm trying to make this political. This is not. But by his own admission, it was not that masks weren't working. It was for the greater good of society that the healthcare professionals, there's a video, you guys can download it. The healthcare professionals said, tell the public one thing, because the reality is something different. And the greater good was that the healthcare system could get the PPE equipment that they needed, that protection equipment. So the public was essentially misled, told something that wasn't entirely true for the greater good. So that's less national security, but more about how the government sees the greater good, in this particular case, health. So could we put it past them not to do that with this? Why would they just kind of go, huh, we have no idea what this is? If this truly is from a UAP report, if the context is that it actually is still labeled unidentified, maybe that's by design. Maybe journalists, not only Tim, this isn't against him, but journalists that are publishing this stuff actually believe that the government doesn't know what some of it is. And so it tells the public, wow, the government's really stupid and inept. They don't know what they're doing. They can't even tell that this is a Batman balloon. And of course, that ridicule against the government may be what they want. For years, they tried to label UFOs and got themselves tripped up. Again, Roswell, hello. How many times did they change their tune? Why? Because of people through the years, like my friend, the late Stanton Friedman, who would drill and drill and drill and challenge the company line. So maybe this is just simply the same cover up and conspiracy, but with a new tactic. Just say, hey, we have no idea what's going on, and give the aura of being clueless, when in reality, you have two sides to the UAP issue. One, the Batman balloons. Those are the cases that you actually can verify. Those are the cases that you actually can solve. But make the public think you can't. Make them think that you're completely inept. You're the most highly trained intelligence officials ever, but you can't figure out a Batman balloon? I'm here to say they probably did. And when the skeptical responses to the FLIR 1 and the gimbal and the GoFast video came out, and balloons were attributed to that also, a lot of people labeled those skeptics and debunkers as being big meanies. How dare they say that? It's really weird, though, that official documents about those videos say exactly that. Balloons. Are these the visuals in the UAP manuals and reports of saying, look, this is what we can achieve through investigation. We can identify these, but these other ones, we can't. These other ones are the highly classified ones that are not American tech. Those aren't the ones leaking out. But when you look at the actual documents and it shows you verification of what the skeptics are saying. If you don't know what this document is, this is the DD Form 1910 that Luis Elizondo had filled out, which described the FLIR 1 gimbal and Go Fast videos up here. What were they? This was for a classification review, so they could use it to help identify, analyze, and ultimately defeat unmanned aviation system threats. Those are drones, if you're not familiar with the acronym. It was never meant to be released to the public. I've done a lot of videos on this. I'm not trying to beat that dead horse. What I'm trying to say is this document here actually supports the theory that this probably is training material. Part of that Rosetta Stone for uncovering what is a real UAP and what is not. And if there's a little public deceit in the process, so be it. They've done it for 70 plus years. Why not continue the trend? They're not coming clean. Hate to tell you, people hate me for saying that. There's going to be no disclosure. How do I know? They've shut it down from top to bottom, classifying everything and won't release it. Now, I'm still trying through legal channels, but the way to do it through the press office has all been shot down. And the time it takes to get answers and so on and so forth, it's just not productive for any of us to continue that way. So yeah, the FOIA, as much as some people say, wow, the FOIA is never going to give you anything, FOIA has given you the best UFO official documentation that's ever been produced. Sure, there's been some leaked stuff, but you know what? Maybe there's more to this story than meets the eye. And that goes back to Susan Goff's quote, including those incursions initially designated as UAP. Again, those cases that may have been UAP from day one, but day 20, maybe it was a Batman balloon. And those are part of it. So is there that aura of we have no idea what these objects are when deep down, yes, they do know? Put it out there into the ether and let the public dissect it and go, wow, this is fantastic. And then you realize within hours, like it was only like an hour when people were putting around that Batman balloon, that it was solvable. That in itself muddies the water and confuses the heck out of everything, including other countries, including our competitors, so to speak, our rivals. And it may show them the intelligence in just the way that the United States intended. Make the United States seem inept, dumb, and can't figure it out. And Putin might go, they can't figure out a Batman balloon. Okay, well, let's not focus on our efforts as hard or put as much money because these guys are pretty, you know, worthless. That, in from an intelligence standpoint, has value. Deceive the American public to a point, because again, done it for 70 plus years. It also has intelligence value on a global scale. And that is the true, or part of the true definition to counterintelligence as a whole anyway. Prevent espionage, sabotage, assassinations, or other intelligence activities conducted for or on behalf of foreign powers, organizations, or persons. In essence, confuse the heck out of everything and prevent really bad stuff from happening. And what's really weird is the guy that was chosen for that alleged UFO study within the Pentagon was a counterintelligence officer. Why would you do that? Project Blue Book had, yes, military brass at the top, but they knew that they weren't capable or qualified to look at all of those UFO cases themselves. So what then do? They brought in J. Allen Hynek, the scientific advisor, because he was qualified. So why do this with a counterintelligence officer unless you have a different effort? So would you put that balloon out there just to paint a different story, one of deceit? continuing the trend that you have done for so long, but in a slightly different 21st century, 2020 crazy way. Let the public believe you're stupid. Let the world think you're inept. Let worldwide intelligence agencies scratch their head just a little bit. But in a classified setting, those lawmakers, all the way up to the president of the United States, excuse me, if he's going in there to learn more about UAPs, they sit down and go, this is the effort. It's a muddy the water, murky everything up to the point where you, as the general public, get so frustrated and you get so tired of it, you just say, forget it. I don't even care anymore. I'm tired of it. Batman balloons are getting headlines on Fox News right now. That, if the theory, just a theory before everybody just writes me and goes, John's crazy. If that theory has any weight whatsoever, then you guys getting frustrated, me getting frustrated, is exactly the point. You put your head in your hand and just say, forget it. I'm so tired of this. I'm going to go bake a cake because I am sick and tired of the UFO stuff that just keeps going out there and gaining worldwide attention because people aren't asking the right questions or enough questions. And if this is some kind of CI effort, counterintelligence effort, that they are trying to deceive the public for the greater good, history shows us they will absolutely do it. 100%. And even though we have our jokes about the government essentially not being, I don't know, smart, that you love to have the, all of us have those jokes about the government being inept, they're really not. And generally, when you think certain things are true, if the last 25 years have taught me anything, it's that if you think something is true, generally it's not. And the crazier the theory is, then it generally has a little bit of truth to it. And that's what government secrecy research does. That is why the FOIA is important, is to shine the light on the crazy stuff that has happened in the past. Because even though this sounds crazy now in 2020, that why would the government deceive the public? Why would they act clueless? Why would they do this? Why would they let certain things leak out? Well, that DD Form 1910 wasn't, in my opinion, supposed to be out in the open. Yes, it eventually leaked. I don't think it was supposed to. And when I went after it via FOIA and uncovered the name of who did it, which we all knew, I'm not sure when it leaked, they blacked it out. But regardless, you start looking at the inside information, not the stuff they want you to see, but the stuff they don't want you to see. It starts to paint a very different picture. And that's why all of this is important. Now, again, the United States government considers the UFO topic an incredibly important one. Why? Because they still hold much of the information, not all, but much of it, and at high levels of classification, stuff from decades ago. The UAP topic, the stuff that everybody loves a lot more than this, and that's what more people want, is the more recent stuff, and that's cool. I'm here to tell you, you're likely not going to get much. You'll get little crumbs here and there, but you're likely not going to get much. And the last 24 hours showed me that, as I really do try to not be a conspiratorial type of guy, Honestly, as crazy as this whole thing is, and putting forth this theory that this all might be by design, I try and stay away from that. But the last 24 hours showed me, wow, if this is true, and if there is an intent here to deceive the public, it's happening. When you look at social networks and you look at how people treat this topic, they're villainizing certain people, sometimes the government, sometimes journalists. They're sick and tired of certain things when it comes to UFOs. I've seen a lot of people say, I don't even take this seriously anymore. That could be by design. Because those people that put their head in their hand and say, let's forget it, I'm going to go do something else, they're not going to be asking questions tomorrow. Right? Counterintelligence effort. Make sure that the general public stops asking. For intelligence reasons, we need to be left alone. So shut it down in whatever way you can. And if you muddy the waters enough, people will absolutely stop asking. And I'll be honest with you. I wasn't planning on going into this, but I'll say it now. The other day, I was talking to a friend of mine. He may even be in here. I'm looking at the chat room, and it's very hard to follow live. So I apologize if you guys are asking. I'm going to open the lines up in a minute. So if you guys have questions, I'm going to open up the phone lines, or you can text my phone, which that is also, don't call the text number. I can't answer it. I can't patch you in. Call the call number, text the text number. So I'm going to pull up that app. So get your questions ready. But what I'm going to say is, I was talking to a friend of mine a couple days ago, and literally I said, I must be having a bad day, man. Like, I'm done with this UFO topic. This is silly. Like, I'm just done. I'm spent. Certain things that should get headlines and should get mainstream attention do not. The stuff that should not does. Why is that? I'm not sure. The more sensational the story, the more widespread it goes. There's exceptions to the rule, but that's generally what we go through in the field of UFOs. Make a wild claim and don't back it up. Bam, you're on the cover of Fox News. If you make something and there's evidence going on, might not be as flashy, but there's actual evidence, documentation. Yeah, sometimes it's old typewritten stuff. And that's all part of this puzzle. That doesn't get the headlines. So there's a difference. And some people ask me, well, why do you care about the FOIA stuff so much? You're never going to get the good stuff. And that's what makes me realize they probably never looked at the stuff if they say you never get good stuff, because there's a lot of good stuff there. It's not the sensationalized information that we want. And a lot of times I get myself in trouble, but when I say, hey, the disclosure is not going to happen for, you know, a multitude of reasons, but the main reason is likely there's nothing to disclose. Oh, man, that irks people. Because you want the government to be all-knowing. You want them to just have this extraordinary amount of intelligence in their archives that proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that there's aliens and that the president made a deal decades ago and Eisenhower shook hands with a gray and blah, blah, blah. That's what people want to believe. But it's not about what you want to believe. It's about what you can prove. And what you can prove, you need that solid evidence. And I'm excited that a couple more tidbits and nuggets of information came out this week in the debrief article. And that's cool. I didn't say it earlier, and I'm going to say it now. Kudos to the team at the debrief for doing this. I know I harp on anonymous sources. I am going to do it again because it makes it very hard to verify. So I don't hold, just because I'm friends with those guys or know them or whatever, have friendly interactions with them. I'm not going to sit here and just say, well, they're an exception. In my mind, nobody's an exception to that rule, but kudos to them for bringing this out. And that pushes the needle a little bit farther, but it doesn't push it as far, I think, as some people say, because again, it's not what you want to believe. A lot of people want to believe that this was a UFO photo and we're on the precipice of disclosure and this is it. I mean, there was literally essentially a movement around this whole, like, December 2nd, disclosure is going to happen. And look, I've got nothing against him personally. So shout out to UFO Jesus. But yeah, I kind of harped on him a little bit because he just jumped right to, is disclosure going to happen? You know, and that kind of stuff, just we need to back off a little bit. So that being said, that's my final point. It's not what you want to believe. It is what you can prove. Got a text. I don't know who this is. You are the best. Thanks. Hey, I appreciate that. Very, very cool. I'm going to open up the phone lines, so feel free to give me a call. The way that the phone works, and we'll see if anybody's brave enough to do it. You guys can ask anything on this presentation, or hey, I'll open it up to whatever you want. I've got a little bit of time here before my kids probably are going to come crashing through the back door here. But I'll answer whatever you'd like if you want to give me your comments, so on and so forth. The way that the phone system works, it's going to tell you where you are in line when you call. Sometimes you're first, second, third. You could put it in the chat room. I'll try and watch that. I can't see who's on hold, so I'll be relying on the chat room for that. You will have a bad delay, about 20 seconds from what I understand, between me and the caller. And when you are on hold or you're waiting to come on, you won't hear me. You'll hear some soft hold music. Sorry for that. But when I do bring you on, just make sure you turn the volume down. That is if anybody has any questions. I'm going to try and There's quite a few people in the room, which is always encouraging to see. But I won't read some of those. That's actually kind of funny. So, yeah. Chat room's very hard to follow, but if you want to put them on all caps on the chat room, that is very, very helpful. So I'm going to read this with you guys as we go. So hopefully there's nothing bad. T-Bay Mufon here. So hey, T-Bay Mufon, I'm guessing that's your handle in there. Question in regards to the Batman balloon pick. Do we know if this is even the actual picture in question? If I recall correctly, I heard it being described as a highly detailed triangle with three visible lights on it. Or am I backwards? I'm cutting out some words here. Or am I backwards here? And this is supposed to be the cube picture. So yeah, there is a, you're not alone being confused in that. I do know that they were talking about two different cases in the original December 2nd article. That's why I was thinking about doing a video on that, just to kind of really focus on those points. But from what I understand, there was a couple cases. This was not the the case that you are referring to. This is the one that and this is where the confusion is. The way they described it in the article, and I don't have it in front of me, but the way they described it in the article versus what the photo depicts is not really a match. So some places have confused and blurred those two cases. That obviously is a mistake. But then I think there is some confusion because if I'm understanding it correctly, the description that was given to this photograph in the December 2nd article, then December 3rd, the photos gets published, isn't really an exact match either. So there's a little bit of confusion there. So I'm not really sure. One other thing that I'll point out, I forgot to make a slide for this, but I'll bring it up. I was amazed that the photograph that you can download from the debrief still had metadata inside of it. Now, if you don't know what that is, every photograph that you take, like on your phone here, it embeds information inside the photograph. So you can see the date, the time, the iPhone that took it, the version number, time of day, aperture, did the flash go off? It holds a lot of data. I was surprised to see that the photo that they put out there was actually was actually still intact. And it was a photograph that was from 2019. And it was reported as being taken in 2018, also adding to the confusion. Now, I know Tim McMillan had tweeted out about this, that he says that the metadata we all see is the fact that it was a picture of a picture. So the picture of a picture is the metadata that we see. And that picture of the original picture was taken in 2019. Have no idea if that's true or not, but obviously I wanted to give as much information as I can on that. So a little frustrating just because, you know, when you start digging in and stuff like that, there's certain questions that we just have unanswered. But that being said, that's where we're at with those cases. But again, going back to what you were saying there, T-Bay, it is, you're not alone. It is very confusing. Martin Willis in the house. Martin, a friend of mine for many, many years, great podcaster himself. So make sure you look him up. Hi, John, this is Martin Willis. Are you saying that you think this is 100% the Batman balloon? Or do you think that there's still some doubt on knowing what it really is? Well, Martin, great question. To be honest with you, I'm never 100% on anything unless, again, there is that undeniable proof. Of course, we can't say this is a Batman balloon simply because you don't see Batman. So not to get too, you know, technical there, that obviously you can't say. One thing I said earlier, and I'll repeat it again, is the design and shape of the balloon, meaning the curve at the top, the kind of protrusions from the side that come out. When you look at that slide and when you look at that comparison, I mean, you're talking about a very identical match, or nearly identical, I should say, that really kind of makes you think, okay, well, so we have a Mylar balloon style, which is nearly identical to this, and it's unique. Like, if it was just a circle object, okay, that's silly. You can't just put a circle balloon on there and go, aha, it's a balloon. That would be silly. But the characteristics to it are so unique. And they're so, again, kind of spot on in a match. I would comfortably say that, yeah, you're probably looking at that type of a design of a balloon that made it to that altitude. And the fact that we've been told in the writing of the article that it was roughly 30 to 35,000 feet, I really don't think that it's out of the realm to say, yeah, it could have been 26,000 feet, 27,000 feet, all of which are altitudes that a balloon can get to. So again, not trying to act like a debunker or want to be one. When you look at all of that evidence, you have to lean towards, hey, that's something that is very, very likely on this. So would I say 100%? Of course not, because we don't see Batman. But the style and everything, I think, is absolutely. More of a comment on this. Forgive me for taking some water. It's stupid to make such a big deal over a picture with no pedigree. I'll put that out there for everyone. Another comment, this photo is interesting, would be amazing if we knew the origin. And yes, and by the way, if you want your name or anything referenced, I only see phone numbers, obviously not going to say your phone number. So make sure you sign it with your name or handle, whatever you'd like. This photo is interesting, would be amazing if we knew the origin. Hey, I'm spot on right there with you. And that is my disdain for anonymous sources. From an investigative standpoint, because this channel is all about investigation, not only from myself, not only encouraging it, but also this is a team effort. I mean, nobody on this planet knows more than anyone else at this point. I mean, yes, maybe facts and figures and so on, but the grand explanation of what this phenomena is, I truly believe that everybody is in the same boat of being essentially clueless on what really is going on. But that is why I do not like anonymous sources, because none of us can verify it. And the secret club stuff, I really have no like for claims like that. I understand journalists have anonymous sources, and that is something I do not chastise. Journalists absolutely use anonymous sources inside and outside the world of UFOs. But sadly, with the field of UFOs, it's like there's a lot of leeway for excessive use of anonymous sources. And then when there's the sole use of anonymous sources and nothing can be verified, that's the kind of stuff that's, you know, kind of silly. And of course, I can go to LinkedIn and I can start digging in and start writing emails to people and try and dig like, hey, you know, I'm working on a story on XYZ. Do you have access to this or access to that? And just kind of blindly fishing. Sure, you might get lucky. But if that's my only source, I won't publish it. Maybe another journalist will. Obviously, there are journalists that do that with the UFO field. I can tell you that I had one person write me. Their credentials all panned out, and it was a really cool story. Something that really was mind-blowing to me, and I'm not teasing anything. I'm trying to just make a point. And it was mind-blowing to me, and I said, look, I'd love to do an interview with you about this. Would you do it? And they said, oh, nope, I can't until I retire. And come out of the service. And I said, okay, you know, I understand. And that's a couple years away. So again, it's not, but what I could have done was turned around and said the story and told all of you guys and go, well, I can't tell you who told me, but there's the doozy of a story. Here it is. And to me, that's just not, it's not what it's all about for me. Again, I don't want to label any news agency. A mainstream media outlet might do it, you know, a blog may do it, and that's fine. And they get the clicks and they get the likes and shares and so on and so forth. But to me, that's not what this topic is. It's not what it deserves. So we need something other than, you know, anonymous sources. Just because it caught my eye, here's an all cap question from the chat room, and I'll get back to the text because quite a few of them came in. Would the general public be able to handle disclosure of these UFO sightings from Paradigma Theories? Great question. In my opinion, the answer is no. Here's why. Just take the pandemic, for example, here in America, and people can't even wear masks. You know, whether or not masks work or not. Look, we can have that debate when the pandemic's over. My wife is a nurse. I won't go into details. She is, however, in charge of the COVID unit at her hospital. I don't mind wearing a mask for people like her that see death all the time and the people that are dying all the time. If I am wrong to wear a mask, I'd rather wear it and be wrong. If I'm right to wear a mask, then I'm doing the right thing. And I really wish humanity would feel the same way. Now, what's my point? Well, we can't agree on masks. It gets politicized and people are protesting and how dare you and this, that, and the other thing. This is why the aliens won't talk to us, people, is because we can't even, for the greater good of humanity, let's take a gamble and put a mask over our face for a little bit when we go out to the supermarket and everybody raids the toilet paper aisle. Just put the darn thing on, you know? I really don't see, my freedoms aren't taken away. I come home, I take it off, I play with my kids. And nobody says I can't do any of that. So yeah, it's annoying, it's frustrating and so on. But it is what it is, you know? So that's to me why they can't, why the general public as a whole can't handle it. You guys in this chat room right now, watching this video, listening to the podcast, which will dump after the live stream, those are the people that can handle it. Those are the people that can go out there and figure out that they're going to be okay if a extraterrestrial presence is revealed. But the majority of people out there, I really don't see it at all. So hopefully that answered your question. What do you think is the most effective way to convince the common person to be interested in the UFO topic? Honestly, think for yourself. I am not here to tell anybody how to think or what to think. I love to pose theories. I love to pose possibilities. I love to throw things out there to invoke discussion in essence, get people thinking. It's no fun to be in an echo chamber. Like, what's the point? You know, if I go out there and just start, you know, agreeing with the company line and kind of dropping down to my knees going, this is it. This is the messiah of all UFO knowledge. I don't see it that way. If I feel somebody's right, of course I'll agree with them and cool. But my recommendation for everybody who is looking into this field is just think for yourself, look at it objectively and ask questions. I mean, if anybody has any inkling of interest, but has never really dove into it, this is why I kind of harp on the media so much, is because then when they look at, let's say something that is like this leaked UFO photo, they dig a little bit more and go, oh my gosh, it's a Batman balloon. I don't want to be involved with that field. I mean, that's silly. They made a big deal out of that. That's what I mean. That's where the damage comes from. I'll go back and talk about the New York Times really quick about the off-world vehicles thing. Accuracy is key with this. And that's why you got to ask questions. And journalists are in that category too, where I say, hey, look, we have to think for ourselves and ask questions. And it seems to me that from the journalist side, not all the time, because there's some great journalists out there, but some just don't ask those questions, and mistakes are made and things are published wrong and corrections are made, like with the New York Times. So again, going back to your question, if people would just think a little bit more for themselves and ask questions and question everything, not to quote the X-Files, but question everything, that is something that we need to do. And that's what I would recommend anybody to do if they were to get into the field. What are your thoughts on the Jonathan Reed story? I'm not going to get into that, although it's a great question. I've known Jonathan a long, long, long time. And I mean, probably going back 20 years, I think, is when he was circulating the original UFO Congress in Laughlin, Nevada, and came across Jonathan. I will say, very nice guy to me always. We crossed paths many, many times. Niceness doesn't always authenticate. So I'm very apprehensive about that story, but I'll be honest with you and say I'm not knowledgeable enough to say it's all bunk. I feel the pictures are I feel the pictures are not right. Is that the nice way to say it? I don't know enough about it to really sit and critique it for you. But I'm willing to talk to Jonathan. I connected with him on Facebook and, still kind of share comments unrelated back and forth. So that's not me chastising him or saying, oh my God, he's just a complete horrible person, but it's not a case that I put high on my list. Mylar balloons are only supposed to ascend to about 7,000 feet at most. That's Martin coming back. Sorry, Martin. I would have followed up if I knew that had come in. Let me go back to a slide, Martin, and then this is for all of you as well. See if I can get to it here. I had dealt with that, and I think that there's some confusion on the balloons and the height that they can get to. And there are many sources that will show that you can get there. And I'm going through the whole thing, so I apologize. But here is where you can see that the helium-filled balloons can go to about 30,000 feet. And even above, Mick West, obviously notorious debunker, had posted some studies. I didn't look at it very, very closely, but I know that the synopsis was that they showed that balloons were, like Mylar balloons, were going up to 32,000, I believe it was. So don't quote me exactly on that. Go visit Mick's wall. But yeah, there's a lot of, I would say, misinformation out there about, well, balloons will pop at 7,000 feet. However, I will say there's also a lot of discrepancy when it comes to how high they can go. And so this particular source, which I felt was authenticated by a couple, so that's why I pulled this screenshot, said 29,537 feet approximately. And then again, roughly 30,000 to 35,000, that photo was taken. Roughly is the key word here, because we don't know. Was it 30? Was it 27? Was it 25? Was it 40? You know, again, that's the problem with anonymous sources. We don't really know. But regardless, it's in the ballpark of a balloon. So that's why I definitely stick to that theory. Did you see the recent revelations this Batman picture actually leaked back in May, and that there were two others with it? One looked a lot more like a cube. I can send you the information pictures if you'd like. Yes. And in fact, I didn't get into that. But if you caught it, I think I had the screenshot in the beginning, and that was this post here. And I just kind of used some generic UFO Twitter related tweets here. But yes, back on May 11th, 2020, this picture here was posted, the one that I've been talking about the whole time. And yes, there were two others. The two others were, you know, yes, you could maybe deduce cube, but I obviously compressed Twitter photos kind of hard, blurry, you know, same old with UFOs. But regardless, I'd reached out to Blake, who I wanted to get an answer of how he came across them. I didn't hear back yet, but the only, from my understanding anyway, the only thing that was posted publicly that I found in response to questioning this was, whomever leaked the photo did so likely with Tim, this guy Blake, and then another person, and that's it. And nobody did anything with it except Tim, and brought it out into the open. So I don't know how much accuracy. Again, mud, you know, it's just murkiness out there trying to figure out. But that to me was like, I took a double take. I'm like, well, why did this guy print it out on a laser printer? Because if you zoom in, you can see as a printout, and then repost the photo. And then I realized, oh my gosh, that was May, when somebody said, how did this happen? And it took me a second to see the date. So how that happened, I'm still looking into it. I'm curious, but does that help the story? Does it kind of maybe hurt the story? I'm not really sure at this point. Sergeant Schill in the chat. So Sergeant Schill and Robert. Hi, Robert. That's your real name. Keep up the great, honest work. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate that. No question for this stream. You are on point. I would like. Okay, gotcha. Sorry. As I said, I read these kind of live on the air, so I apologize. We'll definitely be in contact. I appreciate the very kind words. I hope you didn't mind me reading that part out loud. But the rest, yes, I'll definitely chat with you. I think this may be real. The pic shows the UAP as a clear image. If it was a balloon, it would not be moving at the same altitude, speed, and direction. It would be a tiny blur, not a clear image. So those are all, great observations. I'm not going to sit and argue with you on them, simply because I don't consider myself an image analyst. What I can say, however, is it is a photo, not a video. So to determine that it's moving or would not be moving at the same altitude, speed, and direction, you can't really deduce that from the photo. In addition, what was written in the article, the very few details that are there, again, that makes it very difficult to authenticate, simply because who do you follow up with? You know, and again, I understand journalists have anonymous sources, but that is where the trick is. So for me anyway, this is just a personal note, not necessarily right or wrong or indifferent, But for me personally, from an investigative standpoint, you have to deal with what you can prove. It's like that last slide that I showed you guys. It's not what you want to believe. It's about what you can prove. And with this, all we have is the photo. I mean, that's really all we have. Do we have some details, scarce details in the debrief article? Of course, from anonymous sources. I mean, and so we have to 100% trust what we are reading is accurate, but then 100% trust what Tim was told was accurate and the team at the debrief. And that's not against them. They are reporting what they heard. But that's why I put forward that maybe that deceit, maybe that disinformation is by design, you know, and maybe that there is something to this because there is such a long history of it. But to go back to your points, it's hard to deduce all of that from from a photo versus a moving video. Going back to the question about what effective way, you're very welcome. Yep, sorry. I appreciate your thanks on that. So let me check the chat room here for all caps. Let me scroll up a little bit. Apologize. It's a little quirky here on my end. Usually I like it a little bit more smooth, but you know, we're back doing live, so it's a little bit less formal. Based on all that you have shared in this podcast, do you think we will ever have disclosure? Alan Jimenez. Hi, Alan. Also a great question, which I touched on a little bit earlier. I will add that with everything that I've seen, I don't see that disclosure will happen. I just don't. And I believe that there is a big possibility that there is nothing to disclose. I do believe that the extraterrestrial connection to all this is a very big possibility. Not to give a shameless plug, but that's what I wrote my book about, which you see above my head here, and dealt with all the official undeniable information that's out there. So some of which you've seen on this channel, I hope to have a lot more of it in the coming weeks and months, but essentially taken all that I have seen, the best of the best, in my opinion, when it comes to UFOs, slamming it all into a book and dealing with the skeptical response at the end and where we end up. And the extraterrestrial hypothesis, I would call it, is definitely high on the list. But I also believe high on the list is the fact that the government does not have anything to disclose, that they just don't know the full truth. Maybe I should do a speculative video. I love this. I don't like speculation when it's hurtful, but when it's fun, meaning when you speculate and start putting things out there as fact when they're really unsubstantiated, I don't like that type of speculation. But what's fun is when you start thinking about alien intelligence. And my very quick thought on that is you need to think about alien intelligence, because if they can get from there to here, they have a very big head start on us. It could be 10,000 years. It could be 100,000 years. But essentially, they've got a head start on us, right? So if the theory of evolution is true and they're carbon-based life forms like we are, and they got off their planet and traversing the stars, that's all great. And so what does that mean? Will they even be able to talk to us? And the thought that I will leave you with is, if they can get here and they see us, my guess, and they're capable of doing it, so they had that much of a head start, that the universe is teeming with life and that we are the anthill in the middle of the Sahara Desert that humans don't go out to with a flag and plant it outside of that anthill and go, we are humanity. Let us trade. Let us stop fighting. Don't look at the murder hornets anymore when they're dead on the ground. Let us coexist. We don't do that, right? And yet the fascinating thing for me is the intelligence gap between humanity and that anthill is likely closer than a civilization that had a 10 or 100,000 year head start. I truly believe that. That obviously can traverse the stars. So I think the intelligence gap would be so far. The question mark would be, will they even care that we are here in a universe teeming with life? And so they may kind of flip through the skies like we do on Mars, check it out. Hey, look, there's life. Very cool. Let's move on. And I think that really you have to start breaking, of course, it's speculative, but you have to start breaking down alien intelligence and how would they interact? because people want to believe, this is where that want to believe thing comes in. You want to believe that aliens would care about our nuclear weapons and they want to save humanity and bring us to the next level of our consciousness and, you know, share light and love of the cosmic realm with us. The reality is they probably just don't care. I mean, right? Do we care? It's that anthill analogy again. Do we care about the ants? Now, I'm an exception to the rule. I'm fascinated by ants. So yes, I would actually go plant a flag and try and speak with them. But regardless, most of humanity just doesn't care. And that's where I think alien intelligence is. So I promised myself not to go on a rant about it. But of course I do. So I apologize. But it's one of those things that I absolutely love talking about. And again, speculative. My background in it was producing and directing a couple shows for History Channel and Discovery Channel on alien intelligence and communication. And so getting beyond the UFO thing and the abduction thing, and I did those shows, but that's not what these were about. It was purely about alien intelligence and how would we communicate, if at all. And it was some of the most fascinating work I think I ever did in television, at least to me anyway, because I had to really, really dig deep into all of that and try and uncover the truth and try and figure it all out about would humanity be able to communicate with aliens. So I think you've motivated me to do a speculative video breaking that down, because we came across a ton of stuff for that show, and it really is fascinating. So what I'm going to go ahead and do, because my kids are going to be home any second, my wife was gracious enough to allow me to do this. Plus, it just so happened that my son was able to start soccer today. Despite the crazy pandemic, we are able to do that. So he started soccer tonight, and my wife was able to take my two-year-old with them so I could do this on Friday. It's Friday. I don't even know what day it is. That's what the pandemic does to me. But regardless, thanks to her. She probably won't watch this, but she was able to allow me to do this on a Friday night, which I never really get to do. So thank you all. I really do appreciate your time and your attention to this. It's one of my favorite things to do. I'm so sorry about the quirkiness in the very beginning there with kind of the double feed video started playing and it didn't feed back into my ear. So I had no idea there for the first couple seconds. So I apologize for that, but hey, we'll work together. We'll get it all worked out. And thank you guys for tuning in. I hope this gave you guys something to think about. Please help me by hitting that thumbs up button down there, sharing this video where you can, if you feel that it's worthwhile. I always have a lot of fun doing that. But obviously the thumbs up, that helps a lot. This is John Greenwald Jr. signing off. We'll see you next time.